Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
Okay, so you know my interests as my best friend. You know that, yeah. I love football and I love video games and I love stats and spreadsheets, all these things, things that are known to define me.
Yeah, if and, I was to list your your top interests, those would all be right there.
Those would be right there. So I saw this post on Reddit that said, introduce or come join the International Simulation Football League. And I was like, oh, interesting. I like football. I like all that stuff. What's this about? And so I'm digging into it. And it's this league of, like, I think there's probably maybe like 500 active members or something. So it's definitely like there's a lot of good interest in it. And you create one football player with stats that they have, like a create a player system. They simulate, they do a draft and they have like a little rookie showcase for all the people that just made their players. And then they draft them onto like a developmental league first, where you can figure out how the league works and the ins and outs, and you don't have to have the pressures of the professional part of it. And then you get main drafted 8 weeks later, after every season takes 8 weeks. So the long and short of it is that I have created a quarterback, a gunslinger from White House, Texas.
Oh, nice. I love that.
Wears number 15, whose father was a major league pitcher. I just had all these ideas that I thought really made for a really good, you know, a good quarterback. And so his name is Jack Cannon, and he just went fifth overall tonight in the rookie draft. Fifth overall is pretty good. They said that it is rare for a new player. So you can have more than one character over time, but you can only create one player at a time. And they said most of the time, if someone just joins the league, they don't really know what they're doing. You shouldn't pick a quarterback right off the bat because there's a lot of pressure, because the team relies on a quarterback to be good. But I have proven myself through my activity in the league and
you're bought in.
Yeah, exactly. My devotion to what they're doing, that they picked me fifth overall. And everyone was really fired up about that. I am a member of the Norfolk Seawolves now. Jack Cannon is, for the upcoming rookie year. Exactly right. But I did have a little bit of green room drama, just a little bit. Not quite Aaron Rodgers level. Okay. Not quite sitting around till pick, what was he, 27, I think he was. He was going to go like one. But there were two mock drafts in this before the actual rookie draft. And I, the gunslinging young quarterback, was drafted or was mocked 1-1 in both drafts. And so I was okay, well, I'm going one. I guess I'm doing something right. This is locked in. The team in first, the Dallas, some type of dog, Dallas, like dire dogs or something. I forget what they were. The GM messaged me and he's scouting me and he's trying to make sure I'm into this league. And he's like, hey, we've got the number one overall pick. We've got a needed quarterback. Seems like it'd be a good fit. And we start talking and he's asking me about some of my favorite teams in real life. And he is a fan of the Missouri Tigers, and more importantly, the Denver Broncos are his two favorite teams in the whole world. So I'm like cracking up at it because my Discord picture is a Chiefs icon. He knew I was a Chiefs fan already, but you know, I'm like, listen, man, it sounds like Dallas needs a winner. You're the GM and your teams, your fans of two teams that have never won shit ever. I mean, you know, Missouri never, and Denver recent never. And so he was like, well, I was really hoping this would be a good culture fit. And I'm like, dude, I don't know. I don't know if I could work for a guy that makes life decisions like me. So passed on at 1-1. He was going to take me. I'm pretty sure they were ready to take me
You
until they talked.
basically John Elway'd him. I
Yes.
mean, you
Yes.
basically told him, don't draft me, bro. Except you
Yeah.
actually are going to be a winner and John Elway.
That's correct.
Welcome in to It's Always Sunny in Cheese Kingdom. I'm Austin. Find me on Twitter at RealBirdLawyer. Here with me, as always, my co-host Taylor at Taylor underscore Wit and Jack Cannon on. Do you guys have like a, did you have a social media presence? Are you promoting your player? Do you have
This is
need
a
of a
great
crassy
question.
agent to M Night them?
A simulation agent. They do all of their work. If anyone listened to this and they're like, oh, that's actually kind of cool, it is at sim-football.com is the ISFL message boards. And it's a the presence is mostly a Discord and online message board kind of interaction thing. We don't do a ton of tweeting and all that stuff, but I will say I had a pre-draft presser where they got to ask me all kinds of questions,
Oh.
and I got into, you know, the Jack's family life and upbringing, and it I basically was role playing as Mahomes, and
Nice.
it was a lot of fun. I had a great time.
That's great. Well, role playing is exciting, and when you get a role play as Patrick Mahomes, that does seem like a very thrilling circumstance indeed. I'm happy for you, and I hope that the Norfolk Seawolves really show Dallas what a mistake they've made. I mean, like, honestly, I feel bad for this guy that didn't draft you because I mean, you know, he's already a Missouri Tigers fan and a Denver Broncos fan. And,
Yeah, he's
you know, how
struggling.
much worse can his life be? And, you know, now you're going to make him look like an idiot. And that's going to be a real bummer for him.
Our number one league rival that I didn't know as I was talking to him is Dallas. So everyone, when I joined Norfolk, I was telling them the story. And I'm like, yeah, actually, Dallas messaged me. And I think they were going to take me one, but he hates me now. And they're like, this guy rules. He's a perfect fit, because they all hate Dallas too. And I, as you know, hate the Dallas Cowboys.
Yes,
So
you do.
like,
Yes.
I was ready for this.
Wow, that seems like it worked out extremely well. And I am very curious to see how the season goes for you. We're brought to you by Fansided, and we have two items on the agenda today. We have news. It's not even really news. There's only one item of news, and it's
News.
about the
It's just
ESPYs. So
single news.
it's really just news. And then we've got our ongoing project, The Next Great American Dynasty, where we are recapping every playoff game in the Patrick Mahomes era. We are on Super Bowl 57, Chiefs versus Eagles, the Kelce Bowl, the Andy Reid Bowl, whatever you want to call it. You already know how it ends. Spoiler alert, the Chiefs win. It's going to be fun to revisit that. But first, let's get to the
news.
The news is that Patrick Mahomes has won an ESPY for Best Male Athlete for the second year in a row. Now, Taylor, I want you and the listeners to understand that there is almost nothing that I care less about in the world of professional sports than the ESPYs. I have cared about the ESPYs exactly once in my entire life, and it is when my alma mater, the Trinity San Antonio University Tigers, were up for an ESPY for a 13 lateral game winning touchdown circa, gosh, when was that? 2008,
10,
I think it was,
for sure.
2007 or 2008, against the Millsaps Majors in Millsaps, Mississippi. I don't remember if we won or not, but I remember the team got to go to the ESPYs. This is a big deal at the time. I was not into college football at all, but it was cool. This is maybe the second time that I've cared about the ESPYs, and I still don't really care about the ESPYs that much. But listen, best male athlete, that's across all sports. Okay.
Yes.
And to be the best male athlete 2 years in a row, I mean.
Oh, we don't know he won best male athlete, although he is up for it. We know he won best NFL player.
Oh, best NFL
2
player.
years ago.
That's fine. Well, yeah, I'm sure
I
he
know
will
you don't
win.
care about the ESPYs, so I get the
I'm
confusion.
sure he will win Best Male Athlete for the second year in a row. Let's just go ahead and lock that in. We're not going to edit this if the
Yeah.
awards come out subsequent to this.
Okay.
And nobody is
I'm just
going
going
to,
to gaslight
I
the
mean, listen, nobody's going to check this, Taylor.
people.
Nobody watches the
You're right.
ESPYs. So,
No one's going to know. We
as
just
far as I'm
awarded it to
concerned,
him.
back-to-back Best Male Athlete in the world, Best
Woo!
NFL player. I mean, we're talking about a dynastic run in ESPYs now, and I know that this doesn't matter at all, but I'd still rather win than not win.
Yes. Yeah, I completely agree. There's not a lot of awards to be had outside of like the official league awards,
Right.
MVPs and stuff like that. Like there's just not a lot of times that you can win other than those. And so the ESPYs do offer another avenue for Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs to beat people at stuff. Like that's just so anytime, that is a possibility, I'm into it. I'm into the idea of people having to sit there and stomach it and watch Patrick Mahomes go up there and make a acceptance speech or whatever. Like anything that just forces our greatness down other people's throats, I'm totally into. But I agree with you that like the impact of the award or like the, I wasn't necessarily looking forward to the awards show or anything like that, but I'm way into the idea of just continuing this Chiefs train as long as we can.
Speaking of continuing the Chiefs train, that brings us to the second item on the agenda for this podcast that we're doing on July 11th, literally the deadest of the dead spots in the NFL calendar.
Talk about
I
the
did.
NFL rumors thing, the trade rumors thing that you found
Oh,
yesterday
yeah.
or
I went
today.
on NFL trade rumors because I like to just make sure. I mean, we're obviously constantly checking the NFL
Yeah.
news, but I like to check there just to make sure that I didn't miss something, you know? And that site is an aggregator. So they're literally pulling the dumbest stuff that isn't news in order to throw into NFL trade rumors, you know, in the offseason to get the clicks, right? And they get a click from me at least once a week when I go there to check to make sure that there isn't any news. There
Yeah.
literally were no posts for the Chiefs from July 3rd to July 11th, which is today. There was like a little blurb about Xavier Worthy that they threw out today. They like pulled some quotes from a Patrick Mahomes presser where he was like, Xavier Worthy's fast. I'm sure he's going to be great.
Sure.
And that
Yeah.
was the news for today. They
Yeah.
literally could not find a single way to get my click as a Chiefs fan for 8 days, which
That's
goes to
crazy.
show everything that is going on here in the NFL calendar. But what we do have for you, it's a very special episode of the next great American Dynasty, as I mentioned, our ongoing offseason project where we're hitting every playoff game in the Patrick Mahomes era. And we've got fresh off beating the hated Bengals to return to the Super Bowl, the Chiefs traveling down to Arizona to end the season where they started it at State Farm Stadium in Glendale. We're talking, of course, about the 2022 finale, Super Bowl 57. And we're going to get into the Chiefs system. We're going to do the awards. But before we do that, I mean, we talk a lot about legacy on this podcast. I feel like that's one of the things that we really like to hit on this podcast that we, I mean, I don't want to scratch our back, pat our back, whatever, but I feel like we do this better than most people who
I agree with you.
podcast.
It's our focus. It's
We,
both you and I. We both love it.
this is what we really care about, is the 10,000 foot, 10,000 year view of what this sports franchise is doing. And in particular, we talk a lot about tipping points, and we talked about it last week when we were breaking down the AFC Championship game against the Bengals. Bengals were 3-0 against the Chiefs. They had just gone to the Super Bowl the year before. If they beat the Chiefs and they are 4-0 against Patrick Mahomes, Joe Burrow has beaten him in back-to-back AFC Championship games, both of them in Arrowhead. Certainly, if he goes on then to beat the Eagles in the Super Bowl, I mean, you're talking about a completely different. I mean, the world has totally changed. And the Chiefs win that
Forever.
game. The
Yeah.
Chiefs win that game. It tipped in our favor. But here you have another tipping point. Now, after the Bengals game, I mean, sure, the Eagles, you know, like this was a team that we didn't have a lot of animosity towards, close ties there, which we'll talk about for a few different reasons between these two franchises. But at the same time, you have to think about your own legacy and the Kansas City Chiefs' legacy. 2-2 in the Super Bowl, and Patrick Mahomes 1-1 in the Super Bowl at this point. Now, there's only, you can't tie in the Super Bowl. There's only two ways this can go. You're going to be 2-1, or you're going to be 1-2. Or in the case of the franchise, you're going to be 3-2, or you're going to be 2-3. And two and three, that's not where you want to be as a franchise. One and two as a quarterback, that's not where you want to be. That is taking you down the path towards Broncodom in the Super Bowl. It has the potential. You get on the wrong side of 500 in the Super Bowl, and you are on the
Might
verge of
never recover.
spiraling downwards into Broncos territory, which, when you're talking about the Super Bowl, is absolutely the very last place that you could possibly want to be for a franchise that has won three Super Bowls. And let's not forget, this was the Super Bowl that would tie the Chiefs. You get a win in this game, you tie the Chiefs, or you tie the Broncos, you tie the Raiders with three Super Bowl rings and 50 years of ineptitude between Super Bowl IV and Super Bowl 54 is wiped away in the span of four seasons. There is a lot going on before we even get into the drama of the Chiefs system.
Yeah, it's anytime you're playing in a Super Bowl, by nature, there's a lot kind of going on. But sometimes it's still not a ton. It's still like, okay, this random team's going to maybe try and win a random Super Bowl. But with the Chiefs, they've got a couple added just legacy components. They have a franchise legacy, they have a coach legacy, they have a quarterback legacy, they have a tight end legacy. They have a lot of stuff going for them that is a big deal to get to this game and ultimately to win this game that is all swirling around in fans like your head and my head, because it's not just a game. It's not just a season. It's not just a Super Bowl. It's a, as you said, a historical tipping point forever. I mean, anytime these games, no matter which way they go, every single one of these Super Bowls, if you flipped all 58 of them on their heads, the entire NFL landscape's different. Like each one of these are such major milestones and accomplishments that you're right. There's just always so much drama that goes into it, and this one was no different.
And speaking of drama, I mean, we're going to get into the Chiefs system, but before we even get to that, the storylines were flying before this game. And one of the storylines that was flying around was the referee, which, of course, we knew before the AFC Championship game, the NFL announces the Super Bowl referee a couple of weeks in advance. So we knew it was going to be Carl Cheffers, who we had seen twice in this season, the Kansas City Chiefs had in 2022. First in week five at Arrowhead, where he made one of the worst calls of the year. I mean, this is right up there with the Derek Johnson forward progress call for the referee that retired immediately after the game, Jeff Triplett, who I still remember, even though he hasn't been an NFL referee since 2017,
I'll remember him
7 years
for the
ago.
rest
I
of my
mean,
life.
this is one of the worst calls that I can remember I mean, not just pertaining to the Chiefs, there have been bad calls, but Chris Jones literally strip sacking Derek Carr, barely even touching the player, just ripping the ball out and then gently laying him down on the grass as he was stripping the ball away, gets wiped out by roughing the passer call. And then, of course, we got to hear him essentially pee his pants on TV as Arrowhead relentlessly booed him. And I mean, listen, we got to see him carry a grudge. Now, this, of course, is a long-standing grudge. Carl Cheffers, of course, was the referee in the Chiefs' infamous no touchdown scored loss to the Steelers, or no touchdowns allowed,
Right. The
loss to
Steelers
the Steelers.
scored no touchdowns. The Chiefs
Exactly.
scored two of them and lost 18-16.
And
Super Bowl
obviously,
55.
Travis Kelce said that he couldn't referee a Foot Locker, couldn't work a Foot
Right.
Locker.
Right.
I mean, we have a history with Carl. We have a past. So we saw him follow up his performance in week five with a late season disaster class where the Chiefs narrowly escaped with a 30-24 overtime win over Davis Mills and the Texans, thanks in large part to some very suspect officiating calls down the stretch in that game. Boy, I really hope this guy isn't making a call with the game on the line, huh?
Yeah, exactly. That'll have to spell doom for the Chiefs if they put it in Carl Cheffer's hands. So let's just hope it doesn't get to that, shall we? We will be, of course, recapping this game in the way that we always do in the Chiefs system, and that is the system that the Chiefs use to win football games, and that stands for C, create drama; H, handle adversity; I, inspire hope; E, engage physically; F, finish strong; and S, separate entirely. Now, most of the time, I have all my thoughts really well formed before I get into this system. Like I just feel like this time what I wanted to do, try something a little different. I wrote contemporaneous notes as I was rewatching this game. I normally don't really do that. I rewatch the game and then kind of vomit out all my thoughts. But this time, I just want to go through and kind of take you through what I was writing down and why as we were going through this Chiefs system. So I have some pregame notes first before this. So this is a pre-seat. This is just what I was watching during the beginning of the game. And my notes were Chris Stapleton, national anthem A+. Do you remember how incredible that Chris Stapleton national anthem
Yes,
was?
I do
I
because I
mean,
rewatched the game today as well. And it astounded me, as an aside, like how many musical acts there are. You know, like we've got
yeah.
all of the different versions of America is Great. And then I was like, am I misremembering? Like, was Chris Stapleton this year? Like, when is this guy
Yeah.
gonna
When does
sing?
he
And then, of course.
actually bring the house down? And then he did it. Yeah, he was awesome. I also wrote down Nick Sirianni being so punchable. Dude, I remember not liking this guy, obviously. I still don't like him, but like just watching him kind of just huff around in pregame and stuff, like I really don't like that guy. Like he is just the worst. And then conversely, Jason Kelce is the best. Mahomes, calm AF, fucking Carl Cheffers. And Arizona's turf. That's what I had my pregame, just like one-liners about what I was looking at and thinking about as I was rewatching this game. So those are all some things to keep in mind as we continue on. And we are now going to introduce C, create drama. You already kind of recapped a lot of our drama that we're going into this Super Bowl 57, the Kelce Bowl, Andy versus the Eagles. So first of all, the Kelce Bowl, that was a big deal. The brothers starting on opposite sides of a
First
big
time it's
time
ever
brothers.
happened.
These
Probably the
aren't,
only
yeah.
time it'll ever happen.
Exactly. And these aren't just like no name or even like low level. These are like two of the best players on the field in their, for their respective teams that are also big time personalities. And they had just started New Heights and it was such a big, fun cultural deal for them. And they met in the Super Bowl, which was just, you couldn't have scripted it. I mean, it's crazy. You obviously did script it because there's no way this game happens without
Right.
the NFL scripting it. Like clearly
Yeah,
it's scripted,
obviously.
but it was awesome. And then, of course, you have Andy Reid facing his old team, the Eagles. Very cool. Very fun when a coach gets to kind of go,
And
walk down memory lane. I mean, what? You don't mind it as much, or
no,
you
I
don't really
mean,
care?
all this as well happening, just to emphasize how scripted this is. I mean, Andy Reid
Oh,
and the
I got
Kelce Bowl happening in
to.
the year that the
Yeah.
Kelces started their award-winning podcast, New Heights.
Yes.
Yeah, get
Yes.
out of here.
Yes.
They're
It's wild.
podcasting for Media Week at the Super Bowl. You know, I
Oh,
mean, just I,
you
they had Andy
can't
Reid
make
on
this
as a
shit up.
guest. I mean, NFL script writers, man.
Exactly. So then I also had Mahomes on his bad ankle versus the indefensible Tush Push. So going into this game, of course, Mahomes had been banged up against the Jags, and then although he played well against the Bengals, that still was a couple weeks ago on a high ankle sprain that they talked about would need 6+ weeks to really heal up. Like it was still tender, and we will get to some more talk about the ankle later. And then on the other side, I mean, Jalen Hurts is one of the most physically imposing quarterbacks that there's ever been. He's like right there on the short list with like Cam and Big Ben as like just a, that tush push specifically. He's not
Squat
super
700
imposing.
pounds or whatever it
Yeah,
is. Yeah, I
he's a
mean, you
he's
know.
a Olympic caliber squatter. They have a monster offensive line in front of him. The tush push was, I forget the numbers by now, but it was unbeatable. 92% was pretty much, it was pretty much around that by the end of 2022. I mean, that's the whole joke from the podcast New Heights about how percentage of the time that the tush push works. And it's true. It's ridiculous. So you've got, one quarterback who, even though he's a superstar, he's kind of banged up. Then the other team has this kind of unbeatable rush play. You already talked about the Super Bowl numbers, the Mahomes being 500, Andy being 1-2 in the Super Bowl going into
Yeah.
this game. If he loses this game, he's gone to four Super Bowls and only won one of them. That's a huge deal. Andy loses this one to the Eagles. I mean, that was a huge tipping point for Andy also. And then I just want to recap the previous four seasons of Chiefs results. They went conference championship loss, Super Bowl win, Super Bowl loss, conference championship loss before this game. So like, they had been there. They had been winning a ton of playoff games, but like you can't go Super Bowl loss here. And then in the 5 years of Mahomes, yeah, sure, you go to a conference championship all 5 years, but you only win one of them. Would that have
Yeah.
I mean, that I wouldn't say it would, tank his legacy or whatever, but that's a pretty, I don't know. Then I go back and forth and like, well, lots of quarterbacks like Aaron Rodgers, is still considered a really, really all-time quarterback, and he's not going to conference championships and winning those games. I don't know. It's I debate with myself whether a, if you get there close but lose all the time, but we don't have to have that debate. So fortunate
We
for
don't have to
us.
have that conversation. We don't.
No. So we're still on create drama. The Eagles led the league in points scored on their first drives of the game. They are a ridiculous fast start team, and they were built run game, defense, hold the lead, tush push, that type of stuff. So they convert. They have a third down to open the game, opening drive on third and five. They hit a little crosser to DeVonta Smith, who gets absolutely blown up by Justin Reed. And then Jalen Hurts scrambles, runs for 11 yards. He finds Dallas Goedert for 13 yards. He finds DeVonta Smith, who it's a short little catch and run, but he escapes a couple tackles. 24 yards later, they're marching right down the field. Boston Scott takes that down to the three, gets blown up at the goal line roughly, setting up third and three from the 4 yard line. And then Kenneth Gainwell gets the ball, their other kind of bigger back. He's actually short of the yard, even though they give him the touchdown at first. And then Jalen Hurts gets the tush push on fourth down from the goal line, and they push it in for the opening score. 7-0 Birds, drama created.
By the way, Patrick Mahomes did win Best Male Athlete. The
Hell
official
yeah.
Chiefs Twitter account tweeted that 4 minutes ago. So
Good for
we do
him.
not have to edit, not that we were going to,
No,
any of our previous
we knew.
banter.
We
We
knew.
knew. I mean, yeah, we knew. Let's just assume that we had insider knowledge there
Yes,
about
we
who's
did.
going to win at the ESPYs.
Yes,
Maybe
we
there
did.
will be some more awards coming for the Chiefs down the pipe here. But yeah, I mean, drama created, right? Like this was like, there's so much of a contrast in styles between these teams, and
Yeah.
this is true of many of the teams the Chiefs have played in the Super Bowl. I mean, the two 49ers teams, obviously, that the Chiefs have beaten, and then this Eagles team, just in the way that they want to beat you. Like, they're such a front-running, play from ahead team, and they were so utterly unchallenged in this playoff run. They obviously played the 49ers in the NFC Championship game 31-7 because Brock Purdy goes out in the second quarter with an elbow injury. I mean, when the game is it's a one score game, and then obviously it just completely gets away from
Well, they
the
used Christian
49ers.
McCaffrey at quarterback in that
Right.
game. I mean,
Right.
it was a
Right.
disaster.
It was not good at all. And then the game before that, they played the Giants, who somehow made it to the second round. They knocked off the Kirk Cousins Vikings when he checks it down on fourth down with the game on the line, and they beat
Jesus.
them 38-7. So I mean, like, and they were up 28-0 at halftime in that game. So I mean,
Laffer.
this is sort of like an all-time front-running team, and it's one of the greatest rushing teams in NFL history. And the Chiefs, I mean, they already played not exactly the same version of this team, in Super Bowl 54 with the Niners, but a similar type of team that wants to run the ball, wants to play from ahead. And, after one drive, sure enough, same old Chiefs, spotting the team that you absolutely do not want to get out to a big lead, a touchdown on the first drive of the game. The team knows how to create drama.
They do. They're exactly right. That this is what they do. And your comparison there kind of reminded me of two teams that the Chiefs beat in the AFC Championship game, which are the, I know it's hard to keep track of all of them, but the Baltimore Ravens and the Tennessee Titans, two other teams that were built like this. They were built to
Right.
beat you up, hold the lead, just get out early, and then just kind of run the ball and go to work. And those are teams that it just always feels like the Chiefs, when the going gets tough and they're going up against a team like that, they never really get got. They usually kind of figure it out. So of course, figuring it out, H, handle adversity. Chiefs get the ball now. They start out with a little Pacheco run, and then the second play is a really nice shot over the middle to Kelce for 21. Kelce's 99th catch from Mahomes in the playoffs, which puts them second at the time to Brady and Edelman. They have since, of course, passed them for most all-time catches between quarterback and receiver. But this Kelce play, he was running across the middle, doing the Kelce thing right away. Of course, he got hurt before the Bengals game the 2 weeks before, right before the game, as we talked about last week. And so it was good to kind of get get the old guy out there with a nice long one right away. Then Mahomes takes off and scrambles for 8 yards. Really nice read on a right side run. And then Pacheco springs a pretty big one for 25. He cuts left. There's really good blocking. Goes down the sideline. He's fired up. Pacheco in this game, I thought, was awesome. We'll talk about him in a little bit, but really, really ran hard. And then they give him the next run, and he slips on the turf. And we're going to talk about this a couple times. It's not the only time that happens to either team, but
Right.
slips on a run, doesn't gain much. But then, fortunately, the goats go to work, and Travis Kelce catches an over-the-shoulder 18-yard touchdown, pops the stanky leg. Chiefs are right back in this thing. It's the 14th postseason touchdown for Kelce, which at the time second to Jerry Rice, still is, but he's added a couple more to that since then. 7-7 tie. Adversity handled. That front running team's going to have to do it again in order to put the Chiefs behind the eight ball.
Great to see, obviously, in the Kelce Bowl, Travis come out and score a touchdown
Yes.
on the Chiefs' first drive of the game. And, I mean, again, like we've seen the Chiefs come back against a number of teams in the playoffs in their previous Super Bowl run. And in the playoffs, even in the seasons that didn't end in Super Bowl victories.
Yeah.
And so this isn't surprising. They were only down by one score, but it is important to go out and handle that adversity early because, again, this Eagles team, they're sort of like a boulder picking up speed as it runs downhill, right? And
Yeah.
if you don't stop that rock pretty early on, it's going to crush you and
Yeah.
carry you all the way down the mountain. And so, I mean, I think the other thing too is, I mean, look at the previous two Super Bowls. The Chiefs started slow, and
Yes.
for them to come out in this game, and we talked about it. I mean, like the first two Super Bowls that Pat played in, and really like the first couple of playoff runs that he played in, the knock was like, is he too amped up for these playoff games? And so for him to come out now playing in his third Super Bowl,
Jeez.
right? Guess it's starting to slow down for him. A
Yeah, guess he's
little bit
starting to
fewer
figure
jitters,
it
the
out.
game's starting to slow down for him at the highest level. So it's great to see. You love to see it.
Yeah. Yep. Couple notes there too. I remember this at the time. I did not catch this stat on my rewatch, so I don't remember if it was the first or there's a very small number of Super Bowls that have started out with back-to-back touchdown drives by each team, a touchdown and then an answer. My gut feeling is that this was the first Super Bowl to start out like that. Now, that almost can't be right, but I do remember something along those lines. If it's not the only one, it's certainly a small number. And then also, remember, this Eagles team is the defense specifically is nasty. I mean, they
Led
get
the league
after
in
the quarterback,
sacks.
led the league in sacks, one of the highest sack numbers in NFL history. I think third most in NFL history ever for a team. Obviously, they had a 17th game in there to help. But this was a team that got after it. And to be able to march right down the field was a big one. So then, of course, the I is inspire hope. Philly gets the ball back. They start off and they have a pass interference on offensive pass interference on first down, and they can't really get going. Once that Eagles team gets behind the sticks pretty heavily, they had a first and 20 there. They couldn't get back to more than I think it was third and 14 when they punted. They're not really built for that long sustained drive thing
No.
a lot of the times. And so they punt right back. The Chiefs then pick up some easy yardage, including another 23-yarder to Kelce that looked very similar to that 21-yarder he caught on the first drive. Just an over the middle, nobody around him. One of those that, people always ask, how are you so open all the time? Like it's plays like this where everybody's game planning for him. Everybody knows he's the number one target, and yet he just finds a way to get wide open. So he was wide open. He's all the way down to the Eagles' 30-yard line. Mahomes in this game so far has thrown the ball four times. He's four for four for 66 yards and a touchdown. And then he gets chased out of the pocket, throws his first incompletion. They run a trick play to Jerick McKinnon, which I thought was really funny, where the whole left side of the Chiefs, the offensive line, the receivers, they're all standing up, looking at the sideline, wondering what the play is, throwing their hands around, and then they snap the ball. They go right side to McKinnon. He only picks up 7 yards on it, but it was just another example, like Rose Bowl, like all the other times that the Chiefs have not been afraid to break out a trick play, which we will see a couple more of that in this game as well. But Andy's so inventive, and he doesn't shy away from the fact that he's coaching in a Super Bowl to call plays like this. I mean, they're trying to trick it. And so then Mahomes drops back and on third down slips, heard that before, and misses the pass and sets up a Butker 42-yard field goal that would have cut the or given the Chiefs a 10-7 lead. But of course, as you all remember, Butker doinks it off the left upright and the game remains tied at 7. So then we, of course, go back to the Eagles. Jalen Hurts rushed the ball a couple times for 5 yards, 1 yard. He set up a third and four, but Frank Clark is called for offsides on third and four.
Yeah.
Of course, offsides on number 55 on the Chiefs in a big playoff game is something none of us ever want to hear again. Super, super,
And
super
of
triggering.
course, deeply ironic because of course Frank like mentioned that in his press conference, his
Yes,
introductory press conference.
that's
Yeah,
right.
like you're never
That's
gonna
right.
see me lining up offsides. It's
In
like,
the
ah,
Super Bowl
all right,
with a
Frank.
third and four. And
Okay, buddy.
but it was big talk, and I still love Frank, but he was offsides. And then AJ Brown's first catch of the game is on a gets the Eagles down to the 45-yard line to end the first quarter. So the Eagles are marching, the game is tied. The Eagles had a regular season plus 116 point differential in the second quarter, which was the third best second quarter point differential in NFL history. They're just a good second quarter team who, we've seen that from the Chiefs before at times where there's one quarter where they particularly excel, and that was this Eagles second quarter. So, of course, after introducing that stat, they start off with a 45-yard pass to AJ Brown over the shoulder for a
Of course.
touchdown. Of course, Trent McDuffie kind of lost the ball. He had good coverage on him, and then there was a couple two twists too many at the top of the route, and AJ Brown found the ball, does exactly what AJ Brown does. He's a great deep ball, plays the ball really well. McDuffie just kind of lost it. So the
And
Eagles,
McDuffie, he's got the T-Rex arm, so.
he's got the T-Rex arms. He's a little bit of a smaller guy. There's plenty of great stuff, but he's a rookie. Also, he's a rookie playing in the
Yeah,
Super Bowl,
right.
playing in his friggin' 20th game when he's never played more than 10 or 12 games in his life. And so Eagles take a 14-7 lead, but of course we are on Inspire Hope. So you think, well, where's our hope going to come from?
Yeah, where is it?
Well, it's coming. The Juju gets held by James Bradberry on a third down pass, but it was not called, leading to a three and out punt by the Chiefs. I don't think that's ever going to come back in this game
No,
and matter
probably
or
not.
anything. It's probably not relevant, but I just thought that was a little strange to see James Bradberry hold Juju Smith-Schuster, so thought I'd throw that in there. And on the after the punt, the Eagles pick up 7 yards on third and eight, but they get a generous spot to give them a first down that was not challenged, or really even they snapped it quick, but they were a yard short on a third and eight, and they get another shot at it. But ball don't lie. On third and one, the Eagles line up for a unbeatable tush push, but are called for a false start along the offensive line. I forget in the play-by-play exactly. I think it was maybe Lane Johnson that false started, and that's something that anybody who watches the Eagles would say, well, yeah, he basically false starts every single play. But this one was one that was actually called setting up instead of an easy third and one, a third and six. Jalen Hurts in the shotgun backs up, immediate pressure by the Chiefs, a couple of spots, Mike Dano right in there. But of course, Nick Bolton, who's all over the field, was right in Jalen Hurts' face. And as he went to transfer the ball to his other hand to run, he boots it. He drops the ball and then he kicks it immediately backwards after he drops it, which doomed any chance that the Eagles were going to pick that thing up. And Nick Bolton hits it on like a perfect shin high bounce. Couldn't have asked for a better bounce to try and run that thing back. And he rumbles into the end zone for his first touchdown of the game to tie this thing at 14 and inspire everybody that even if the Chiefs aren't, maybe firing on all cylinders on offense yet, or even if the Eagles offense is looking great, the Chiefs defense still is going to have a say in this game. And inspired everybody and tied the game at 14.
Big time botch job by Jalen
Yeah.
Hurts. I mean, I get it. Like, I honestly, it's surprising that this kind of thing doesn't
I
happen more
agree.
often.
We saw it the
You know, I
previous
mean,
week with Mahomes dropping the ball, just straight up dropping the ball in
And I
against
mean,
Cincinnati, but it doesn't happen that often.
it doesn't happen that often because these are obviously the greatest athletes in the
Yeah,
world, but
sure.
also
Yeah,
like,
gigantic hands and
you think about all the things that they're doing on a football field and the fact that they're doing it while people are trying to hit them that are like 250, 300 pounds. And, I mean, just the amount of information that you have to process and do it in grave physical peril. It is
It's crazy.
surprising that it doesn't happen more often. But I mean, like you said, it is a little bit of a ball don't lie moment that this drive ended the way that it did. And it obviously gave the Chiefs huge spark because
Huge.
I mean, a defensive score is always going to be, it's always going to be huge. But the way that the first, part of this game had gone, it wasn't looking great. I mean, it wasn't looking great. You're already down by a touchdown. They have the ball, they're driving, and then suddenly the game is tied. I mean, it's the biggest possible momentum swing that you can have, in the
Right.
second quarter of a Super Bowl, down a touchdown. Now the game's tied. The only downside, of course, is that the defense has to go right back out there. Like they don't get any kind of rest. The offense ends up being on the sideline for, I mean, in terms of like actual time. And I mean, if you take the one drive that they got for the half, which I know we'll talk about, and then the extended halftime show with Rihanna coming out and performing, I mean, the offense was essentially sidelined for over an hour. I mean, with
That's
the
right.
exception of this one little piddly drive, which again we'll talk about. But yeah, I mean, it's hard to overstate the importance of getting a defensive score in that situation and tying the game up. Because again, I mean, the Chiefs are never at any point down two touchdowns in this game. They go down 10 points. They're down two scores technically in this game. But you get in any deeper a hole than that against this Eagles team, I mean, they almost can just line up and like run a tush push, right? Like
On like first down.
if they
Like,
have like a two touchdown lead, like there's no incentive for them to do anything but run the ball four times and probably pick up a first down and just keep the ball away from you forever. And they were already keeping the ball away from the Chiefs in this game. The time of possession hugely favored the Eagles, but you just have to keep up with them on the scoreboard. That's the important thing with time of possession.
Possessions.
Like the number of possessions is going to be more or less equal in the game. The time of possession doesn't matter as long as you're keeping pace on the scoreboard. And that's what this play allowed the Chiefs to do.
Yeah, and the pace of the game also slowed down by being the Super Bowl with longer commercials
Right.
and I mean everything slows as far as although we always talk about as the fan, it feels like that thing just flies by.
Right.
But I mean, in reality, it is the longest game of the year. It is there's just a lot of waiting. And you know, with the offense being sidelined, that also means the defense is not sidelined. So they
Right.
are out there against this very physical Eagles front line and receivers. And I mean, and they're just getting punished. And so yeah, you're right. It was massive to get the flip, the quick turnaround. Obviously, a defensive score is the biggest thing that can happen in a game because it's a turnover and a score at the same time. And that was huge. So Nick Bolton inspires everybody. We get to E, engage physically. My first note on this section of the game was Lane Johnson false starts basically every play. Like, it's crazy
It
watching that back,
is crazy.
how they just, I know that kind of was a thing in the NFL, not just with Juwan Taylor, but just in general, the perceived difference between what a left tackle and right tackle are allowed to get away with on the snap count versus everyone else on the line. And I don't know if that's something that is just impossible to like get out of the game. Like they just can't really. I don't know why it's so prevalent, but it is extremely prevalent with
I
Lane
mean,
Johnson.
I feel like they'd have to essentially blow everything up and start fresh, right? Like because Lane
Yeah,
Johnson is a guy
exactly.
that has been sort of grandfathered in, right? Like you can't, as long as Lane Johnson is in the league, you have to let him get away with it because he's gotten away with it for so long. You just can't,
Yes, you can't now say,
you can't now call him for it. And really, Juwan Taylor was sort of entering that territory, and then he had, one game on national TV on the first game of the
Huge.
year, where again the commentary forms so much of the narrative because a lot of casuals that are out there with their blue check marks on X And when they use it, it is called X, not Twitter.
That's right. It's
But the blue
different.
check marks are out there, complaining about this stuff. These guys don't know an ounce of ball, and
No, they don't. They know negative ball.
they're just repeating what they heard, Greg Olsen say on the broadcast. And so I don't know. It just is the narrative shaping that goes on is crazy. But
Yes,
yeah, I mean
it is.
this, yeah, it is what it is. I mean, he
It
gets away
is. You're
with
right.
it.
There's nothing you can do. It's just, I just noted it. I was watching, like, Jesus, is that not? And then, no, it's not. None of them are. So, the Eagles, they get this ball back, and clearly now this game is tied. They have a fourth and five, and they're about midfield. I think they're at the 45-yard line, and Jalen Hurts takes off on a designed QB draw and picks up like 30. Like, really just nice running by Hurts. This whole game, I was so impressed by him. I was impressed
Yeah.
by his arm, I was impressed by his legs, I was impressed
And
by his calm.
let's not forget, he was playing with a pretty bad shoulder injury too.
That's
I
right.
mean,
Yeah, he did have an injured shoulder. That's right. And there was a lot of concern in Philadelphia about his health. But they hadn't really been pushed, so it was kind of like, all right, I guess we'll just keep rolling. And he missed a late game in that season. I think they had to start Gardner Minshew, if I remember right. And
right.
it just wasn't he wasn't healthy, but in this game, yes, he was awesome. So he took off QB draw for 30 yards, and then they get down to the five. They have a fourth and two, and they get the Chiefs to jump off sides. A couple Chiefs on the defensive line jump there. I don't know if that was just a communication error or really what happened, but they get a big fourth down conversion. That's huge on a fourth. That could be a turnover if you pick that play up, and
Yeah.
got the Chiefs to give it to him without even running a play. So that was tough. And then, of course, the very next play is a quarterback draw for an easy, untouched touchdown for Jalen Hurts, his second of the game after he finished up their first touchdown on the ground, and then he threw one. So I mean, he's now this thing, he's cooking. Jalen Hurts is doing everything. And so with 2:20 to go, the Chiefs have had the ball, and we just talked about this, but for only a minute 44 of the second quarter in game time, which was that
It's
one
crazy.
drive that was a three and out drive. And every other minute of the second quarter has been Eagles ball. And of course, you've got a defensive score in there. So that always is going to flip that majorly for the other team. But it was tough. It was tough to get any type of rhythm going. Mahomes saw MVS long on the second play of this drive and tried to hit him, but MVS just didn't really adjust to the ball very well. It was a good ball. It was outside the numbers to the point where the only guy that could have gotten it was MVS, which is what you want to do with that. But of course, he didn't. So they misfire on a long one. And then Orlando Brown false starts. And I was like, oh, yeah, Orlando Brown. Yeah, good riddance, buddy. Fuck the Bengals, fuck Joe Burrow, et cetera.
Et cetera.
And then it's third and 15. And Mahomes drops back, scrambles around, runs forward for a couple yards, and then the event that we're all a little too familiar with happened, and Mahomes gets hurt. And it's not quite at Denver. It's not quite the Browns. It's not even really the Jags, but it is significant. He screams, he gets up, he limps off to the sidelines. The Chiefs are now behind by seven, and we had just gone through 2 weeks, 3 weeks beforehand of like, just this agony of watching Patrick Mahomes hurt on the field, which it's awful. I don't have children, but like, this is as close as I get. And to watch that happen again in this moment, in this already down against a really tough team, it was tough. It was really tough for me as a fan. That was probably my low point. One of my just low points in my Chiefs fandom, watching that. But they give the ball back to the Eagles. Everyone's trying to freak out and figure out what's going on with Mahomes. Meanwhile, the Eagles hit a 36-yard pass to DeVonta Smith, but the point of the ball does just hit the ground on the way down, so they call it back. Otherwise, I'm almost positive the Eagles would have punched this drive in for a touchdown. But they then line up for a short yardage conversion. Mitch, at this point, I'm watching the radio call on top of the TV broadcast when I was rewatching. He was absolutely convinced that there would be a rule change on the tush push coming up immediately. I mean, he said it like three times. He's like, all right, guys, get used to, or don't get used to this. This is the last time you're going to see it. There's no way the NFL lets this thing keep going. It was hilarious, actually, because Mitch normally is pretty like diplomatic about stuff like that.
Yeah,
Like,
definitely.
he's very just kind and sensitive to other like fan bases and other stuff like that. But he was hilarious. He was like, this is there's no way they're gonna let this happen. And then so that was the fifth time that the Eagles in the first half had lined up on short yardage and run the tush push. One of the times they had the false start, and the other four, they converted it. So they got down. There was no time left. It was like 2 seconds. They kick a field goal with a 10-point lead and an injured Mahomes. And the reason that that whole recap was under engaged physically was obviously because the Eagles are pushing the Chiefs around on the offensive line, and Mahomes is hurt. They have engaged physically with the Chiefs at this point. And I mean, I'm distraught. It's halftime. The Chiefs are down 10, 24 to 14. Mahomes is hurt, which is a bigger deal to me, really, than the deficit. I mean, I would have probably taken, well, this would be an interesting debate, but like, how many more points would you have still taken on the deficit if it meant that Mahomes was healthy there? I think like
Right.
being down 17, it's three scores, it's a lot of points, but like, if we're down 17 with a healthy Mahomes, I probably feel better. I don't feel great, but I probably feel better than down 10 with an injured one. I'm like
Sure.
thinking we're gonna watch Chad Henne come back in the second half. Like I'm
Right.
freaking out. What are you
Right.
thinking here after halftime?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's fair. It sort of felt like, and now the Super Bowl 54 was tied at halftime at 10. But it sort of felt like the third quarter of Super Bowl 54, where just in terms of the Chiefs getting physically dominated. Now, the difference, of course, is that Mahomes was relatively healthy in that game. He was dealing with obviously the lingering effects of his knee being on the side of his leg, but he wasn't limping to the sidelines in
Screaming.
obvious pain, screaming in agony. And in this game, he was doing that. So it sucks. Like we had moments in each of these playoff games. Obviously, you were there for the Jags game. We talked about that 2 weeks ago on the show. Bad body language and bad vibes on the sideline there. Obviously, a couple of scary moments in the Bengals game, at a freezing cold, frigid outdoor Arrowhead Stadium in the AFC Championship game, where it looked like he might have tweaked it. And it's just such a precarious thing for a guy to be. I mean, the guy shouldn't be on the field at all. He's got a high ankle sprain. He shouldn't be out there, period. And then for him to be out there and then re-aggravating it, I mean, your margin for error becomes so small.
Yeah, it was stressful. So we're gonna get to kind of jam up the second half here a little bit, where it finished strong, and that's halftime. So obviously,
Sure.
as everyone remembers in this game, the Chiefs do finish strong in this one. They come out swinging after halftime. A ridiculous shoestring catch by Kelce on a ball that was basically like 2 inches off the ground that he reached down to. Old man's definitely still got it there. On that same play, Mahomes was hit right in the head by a hand of an Eagles defender that was not called. Just a big shot to him that, watching back on that, it's funny how many calls you still notice. Like, I know what happened in this game. I don't have to get worked up that the Chiefs didn't get a
Right.
call or something like that. But then you see it and you're like, come on. Like, the Eagles
Yeah.
had the balls to complain about calls in
Right.
this game. It was unbelievable. So Sky Moore slips on a little 5-yard run that would have, I think, even though I'm not the biggest Sky Moore proponent, I think he would have ripped off a lot more on that. And that was just another example. Anytime anybody slipped, remembering what we did about the field, I wrote that one down. And then McKinnon gets the ball, gets around to the logo, and slips on a 7-yard run, falls straight to the ground with nobody touched him. And I was like, what happened there? And then, oh yeah, his foot just slid out from under him. So everyone was dealing with this. This was not a, there were only five people that were slipping all game, and it was the Eagles offensive line or defensive line, which is what Eagles fans would have you believe. They think
Sure.
they were the only ones who slipped all game, but of course that was not the case. Mahomes then on the bad ankle has a short little run where he almost looks like he falls down, not as a slippage, but just looks like he's going to get sacked. And then he kind of pops out to the right side, rumbles down to the 5-yard line. Crazy just to see him, mere 20, 25 minutes after we saw him, whatever it was, get hurt, to get out there and put his body on the line, do exactly what Mahomes always does. And then Pacheco makes it 24-21. McKinnon got the ball down to the one on a crosser, and Pacheco punched it in for a touchdown. And you're thinking like, all right, guys, like it's a ball game now. Chiefs are down three. It's not that big of a deal. We can do this, even though Mahomes was hurt. Now he kind of came out firing. So like, momentum is clearly on the side of the Chiefs after that. And then in one of the most memorable non-plays that I'll ever remember in Chiefs football, there are a couple of them, but this one, Nick Bolton gets his second touchdown of the game as the ruling on the field correctly stated that Miles Sanders dropped a swing pass after getting absolutely lit up by L'Jarius Sneed. Bolton scoops it up, scoots into the end zone, another touchdown. They inexplicably overturn it. How could they have possibly overturned this play?
I mean, I don't know. It the way it's I mean, the way it's called, it is what it is. We had this conversation when we recap this game live. I think that the way that the football move is legislated in the NFL is different from how I think the rule is written is different from how the rule is called.
Ah,
But
it's a good thought.
and I'm not saying that the outcomes of these calls are determined by the situation of what's happening in the game. But this all goes back to the fact that these are humans making a call in a high pressure environment for the referees too. And on the biggest stage in American professional sports, right? So sometimes, all I'm saying is inevitably, sometimes the call might be influenced even subconsciously by what is going to be best for the viewers at home. Do we want the Chiefs to get another touchdown here, or do we want the game to remain closer right down to the clock hitting zero? And I'm not saying that that's why, I'm just saying it's a possibility.
All right. I'm down with that, even though obviously this was the touchdown and it was bullshit. But then they go on and Dallas Goedert catches a ball for 17 yards on third and six, so they convert that. Kenneth Gainwell rushes for a first down on third and two, so the Eagles break off a couple third downs. And then the worst third down on this ensuing drive, this was the drive that should have been a Nick Bolton touchdown. On third and 14, Dallas Goedert juggles the ball on the sideline for 18 yards, which would have been a first down, should have been called incomplete. His feet and the ball and the juggling, it never worked. And call on the field was a catch in this case. They really slow replayed it. I don't know if the Eagles didn't realize the play was close or whatever, but it took like 30 seconds before the Eagles were lining up for another play. And Andy Reid was like, oh, hold on. No. And he threw the challenge flag. And I love the challenge here. It did not work. They didn't find enough evidence to overturn the Goddard catch. But I really thought that that play, it was a big play. It was a third down conversion, which is, you never want to challenge like a first or second down, basically, even if it's a touchdown, like basically no matter what, just because chances are that team's probably going to do something with their remaining downs. But in this case, I really liked it. But it didn't happen. So then third and 14, that was the completion there. And then the Eagles, they were up three at this point, 24-21 in this drive. And then the Eagles kick a field goal and short yard. It was a third and 11 from the 20, and they couldn't get anything done. So then they kick a little field goal, and then the Chiefs get the ball back, and they kind of remember that they have Juju Smith-Schuster. I'm not saying that they didn't know, but before this drive, Juju had one target or two targets and just wasn't really part of the offense. And
Which
then
is
they
crazy
get to
because he
this.
was their leading receiver outside of
And it's
Travis
Juju.
Kelce.
Yeah, exactly. And so then they get the ball after this field goal, and after a pass to Kelsey, they go Juju, two Pacheco runs, Juju, 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 McKinnon run, and then of course, so they're down. All those work. The Juju catches were 14 yards, 13 yards, 8 yards, including this really nice design where there was a Kadarius Toney outside swing pass to the left that, as soon as the ball was hiked, one of the Eagles jumped off sides and he was unabated to Mahomes. So Mahomes turned to go fire it to the left, and Toney would have had a nice little play, I think, there, or probably would have maybe given the ball to the Eagles. Who knows? But it was play was blown dead because he was unabated to the quarterback. So then the Chiefs come out after the neutral zone infraction and fake the exact same play over to Toney, and two Eagles defenders converge on him, and Juju just slips right behind him, and Pat hits him down the sideline for 13 yards. I really, really like that design. That was something where you don't see a lot of teams go back to the well for the same looks after a play gets blown dead. Like most of the time, they just have to come out and do something completely different, and just thought that was tricky. So they get down to 3rd and 3 after some, they're moving it with Juju, and then Kadarius Toney hits the first corn dog of the game. And of course, you all know that it's the first one because that's how this game went. But he makes one of the most famous, just kind of, I just love this idea that Andy can still come up with stuff that people aren't doing. Like that's just so funny to me because of how many teams play football, how smart everybody is in the NFL at designing plays and at thinking about stuff. And like when you have a guy like Andy that for all intents and purposes is the GOAT play designer. Like I don't know if there is anybody better than him, but for our discussion, he's the GOAT. And to still be able to draw something up where a guy comes in motion and stops the motion and picks back out and he knows that the Eagles pass that off instead of traveling with it. It's just all very, very like inside baseball for football. Like just very, very next level scouting. And Kadarius scores the touchdown, and the Chiefs get their first lead of the game at 28-27. How cool is corn dog?
I mean, it's very cool. And I love that we'll talk about the second corn dog, but I love the second corn dog is like a slightly accidental corn dog,
Yeah, of
just in
course.
terms of them not lining up correctly. But yeah, I mean, this was like you're seeing it, like the first half, you're enduring and you're surviving. And now here we are, the game is on the line, and here's our Chiefs thriving again. It works. It's like it's worth mentioning. We obviously talked about this before the Jags game. We sort of did like a little season review. This was one of the most dominant teams in Chiefs history. I mean, they won 14 games. I mean, this was a this
Juggernaut.
that tied a franchise record, and this was the number one seed. It's number one seed versus number one seed. It's strength on strength, but this was the number one seeded dominant for virtually the entire season. Chiefs showing up here. Everything's
Yes.
working. The guy that
Yes.
you traded for mid-season, who was a total bust for the Giants, who got 8 snaps in this game, is out here catching touchdowns. And Chiefs weren't done scoring touchdowns with guys that had no business scoring touchdowns in the Super Bowl.
And still don't to this day. So to finish strong before we get to separate entirely, the last sequence of this game is some of the most rewatched sequences in Chiefs history. We've got the Eagles punt on a 3 and out after that Toney drive, which included the third down play that Jason Kelce famously said that he botched the snap or the protection call. He was really, really, he said if I had to have one playback, it would be that third down because he should have recognized what the Chiefs were doing and protected it, and he didn't. And the Chiefs basically had a couple free rushers at Jalen Hurts who had to throw the ball away on a short, like a 3rd and 2. And so Aaron Sipos, the Eagles punter who had been hurt, and he was making his first game. This was his first game back in like 10 weeks or something. Like he had been out for a really long time. He hits a low line drive of his first punt of the game was here, and he hits a low line drive to Kadarius Toney, and Kadarius Toney does what Kadarius Toney doesn't normally do, which is make a big play. And that return, the longest in Super Bowl history, was like a slow motion return. Like he was left side, all the Eagles were converging on him. He kind of did like a quasi Dante Hall where he then scooted backwards and kind of swept around to the other side and then just found a wall of blockers. But it wasn't, he didn't have the explosion, I think, because of all the running around he did over on the left side. If he had caught that ball with those wall of blockers, I think he's gone. But he's doing a lot of lateral movement and stuff first, so he just kind of walks, jogs his way like down the right sideline, and he's like waiting for blocks to open up, and eventually they push him out at the 5. And then, as you were talking about, another guy with no business catching a touchdown, Sky Moore, now 0 career touchdowns up to this point in his rookie season. The Tony and Sky are on opposite sides of where Mahomes think they should be as far as the lineup on vertically on the line of scrimmage, and so Mahomes motions Tony to come across, and he's like, oh, no, dude, I can't. I'm not eligible to to go in motion. And so then Mahomes just quickly looks to the left and waves Sky, and Sky does the corn dog motion. He comes in, he breaks out once again for two drives in a row. Not 5 minutes later, the Eagles don't cover him. He's wide ass open for a touchdown, the easiest touchdown you might ever see in Super Bowl history, certainly one of them. And the Chiefs, who had a 1 point lead, now have an 8 point lead. And you know, we're on finish strong. Eagles tied it up, but they gave the Chiefs 5 minutes to go. So the Chiefs are going to separate entirely in those 5 minutes. But what a crazy sequence there with the punt return, the second corn dog, just everything that went into the end of this game was magical. It was crazy.
It was crazy, and I mean it's crazy that I mean Sky Moore again, like, not lining up correctly. There may not be an easier touchdown in Sky Moore's career because he may never score
No.
another touchdown again. And you know you were living a charmed existence when a guy that has he scored what one touchdown since then
Yeah.
in the entirety of his career. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know you're living a charmed existence when a guy is scoring his first touchdown ever in the Super Bowl, and he's so open that you can take a screenshot of it and there won't even be any Eagles in frame. And
Yes.
again, like, I mean, this is not a great football player, guys. I mean, I hope he turns into a great football player. I'm sure he's a nice person, but like, again, you're a second round pick. You should not be scoring your first touchdown of the year in game 20.
No.
And it's crazy how this Chiefs season played out because, again, I mean, we would see what the wide receiver core looked like the next year. Tyreek Hill was traded. What are the Chiefs going to do? They rolled in the number one seed. They gutted out through two tough AFC playoff games and we got in the Super Bowl scoring touchdowns with Sky Moore. Like it's the most normal thing in the world. And it's not the most normal thing in the world. It's really weird. This shouldn't be happening, but
No.
it did happen, and that's why we're doing a project called The Next Great American Dynasty about the Kansas City Chiefs, because Sky Moore is just tricking Eagles on the Super Bowl turf and making them look like fools, and it's what a life.
What a life. We'll hit separate entirely pretty quick because at this point, with the game tied with 5 minutes to go, all the Chiefs need to do is burn out the clock, kick field goal. And that's what they did. They get the ball down. And James Bradbury absolutely holds Juju Smith-Schuster. Oh, echo, echo, echo. That was something that happened earlier that wasn't called. And this time, ball don't lie again. And you know, that was a fistful of jersey. You can't grab a fistful of jersey with a game on the line. And Harrison Butker does what he does in the playoffs and hits big kicks. And he finished off the game. The Chiefs win. They did have 8 seconds left and they squib kicked it. And then Jalen Hurts tried to step into a Hail Mary, but got his foot stepped on and had a hurt shoulder and couldn't really get anything into the throw. And it fell harmlessly at the 20-yard line. And the Chiefs again win the Super Bowl. It was a just an unbelievable experience. They always are, every single one of these. But that's the Chiefs system for you, baby.
I love it. And what I really loved about watching this game again today in preparation for the podcast was, you know, I mean, now that we know what the future holds, this moment really stood out to me and I loved it so much. You know, they're on the podium after the game and they ask Patrick Mahomes, you know, two Super Bowls in 4 years, like, is it a dynasty? And he said, I'm not going to say dynasty yet. We're not done. We're not done. We're not done.
He wasn't wrong.
So I mean, you know, it just is, it's crazy. Like, what kind of person thinks that way?
Thinks of the next one as you're winning.
Literally as you're on the podium accepting your trophy, you're like, yeah, well, okay, this was cool, but like we
I
can't
don't
call it
know
a dynasty
every,
yet.
yeah. I don't know every acceptance speech ever, obviously, but like that's got to be pretty rare to have someone immediately talking about the next championships as they're winning and as they're being, you know, like that's just such a Mahomes type thing to say.
And you
That's just
literally
so
have to
him.
be like, I haven't analyzed the history of this, but like it almost has to be, unless you're a total clown or you're Tom Brady or Michael Jordan, you know, like
Or
you
Patrick
almost
Mahomes.
you can't say that because
Yes.
it's an insane thing to say. And unless you're you're literally one of the greatest players of all time, which obviously our quarterback is. It's
Yeah.
just, it wouldn't even occur to you to say something like that, right? Like, if you didn't have the idea that you were going to win seven championships or whatever, it wouldn't even occur to you to say something like that. And
No,
it
no,
just,
not at all. And in
it
fact,
cracked
it
me
would
up.
be
I mean,
insane to say
yeah, it
something
would
like
be.
that.
Exactly.
But it's
That's,
not insane for him. It wasn't every time when he says stuff like that, no one's like, they're all like, yeah, he's probably right. Like,
yeah,
you
and he
know,
was right.
Mahomes.
And he
And
was right.
he
And
was right.
now the Chiefs are a dynasty, and that's why we're doing this project. Let's hit our awards. I already mentioned the ESPYs are going on right now. We're probably going to have some more Chiefs-related awards there. Lamar Jackson won the award for best play against Kansas City when he caught his own pass
That was a cool
in
play
the AFC Championship
in a
game.
loss.
It is a cool play and a loss in the AFC Championship game to Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs, but it was a cool play. I mean, it was a neat little deal. So these were our awardees from last year. We did do this game last year, and we had the Chiefs system. We had our awards. We gave out only 5-star men. We had Kadarius Toney. We had Brett Veach. We had Travis Kelce. We had Nick Bolton. We had the offensive line, which we haven't hardly mentioned, but zero sacks allowed. Put it on a
Man,
T-shirt.
put it on a t-shirt.
And we had, of course, Patrick Mahomes. So since we've had a year to reflect on this, we will get a. I see the South Carolina Gamecocks women's basketball team has won ESPY's Best Team Award. Cool. Well, you know, we can go back to not caring about the ESPYs. Since we've had a year to reflect on this, and we're not, you know, in the immediate afterglow of winning the Super Bowl, we decided to take a different approach to the awards, and we will dole out trash men and wild cards. You know, it's a little bit, we had to dig a little bit, but we've come up with a list that I think you'll enjoy. I'm actually going to give you the first choice for the 5-star man.
Sure. This is a guy that was a absolute monster. He had eight solo tackles. He had two fumble recoveries. He had two touchdowns. Sure, one of them didn't count, but it absolutely should have. Miles Sanders caught that ball and would have been the only defensive player in Super Bowl history with two fumble return touchdowns, and only the second after Dwight Smith in the Tampa Bay 2003 game with two defensive scores of any kind. Highway robbery that he didn't get that second one, but Nick Bolton absolutely deserves a five-star man for this game. He was the middle of the defense. You know, he was everywhere. He was a guy that I know a lot of people have their thoughts on Bolton, both good and bad. I think he's a really polarizing guy in the Chiefs kingdom, but not the way that I think a lot of guys are polarizing. I think sometimes it's obvious when guys are polarizing, it's like, okay, I can see why you like him and I can see why you don't. Nick Bolton just kind of has a lot of fans and a lot of haters, and I don't really know why either of them exists. But he was unbelievable. So he's my five star.
I mean, you know why. It's because people care a lot about college sports in the region of the country
Yeah,
in
there
which
is
we
some
live.
Missouri
And
parts to it, but I do think that it goes a little bit beyond that. I think some of it's a little bit of linebacker hate in general.
sure.
You know, it's just kind of, I don't know. He does also look slow at times and look outmatched at times, but then other times he's a dog out there. So I think he's maybe just like an up and down player. You
Yeah.
know,
He's polarizing.
he's not quite like Dan Sorensen, where the ups and the downs are like the biggest anyone can ever have. But like, I do think he goes in waves, and when his waves are cresting high, everybody loves him, and then he can kind of have some shitty games. But yeah, he's my five star man.
I will take, of course, Patrick Mahomes. I just, you know, I mean, it was inevitable that we were gonna, out of the 6 5-star men that we
Yeah.
picked the last time we recapped this game, that we were gonna have to pull from that pool, because, you know, when you have six guys, you're going six deep. Yeah, I mean, you gotta have, it would be tough to find somebody that wasn't on that list for a new 5-star man. So we are repeating these two guys, but they are deserving, and Patrick Mahomes is absolutely deserving. This is one of the greatest Super Bowl performances of all time. The only reason it doesn't get that shine is because the Chiefs, he just didn't have the ball. He only
Yeah.
threw 27 passes, 21 completions for 182 yards, no picks, 3 touchdown passes through the air, and then of course the 26-yard run, 44 total rushing. I mean, with a high ankle sprain, just putting the team on his back. I mean, just it's crazy how good Patrick Mahomes was in this game. He's a five-star man through and through. And then we just talked about his dope ass acceptance speech where he basically was like, I'm not going to call us a dynasty. We're not done yet.
Not yet.
I
I
mean,
will call us a dynasty, just
I
not
will
right
call
now.
us a dynasty 1 year from today when I'm back up
Yes.
on this stage
Yeah.
collecting my second consecutive Lombardi trophy, but not yet. Not yet. We'll get there. Let's do our trash men. These are the players or entities who are eating garbage all over the field. And I will take Nick Sirianni in this game.
Love it.
This was sort of the, I mean, Nick Sirianni has always been a clown, right? It's just
Yeah.
when you put a clown on the national stage, as the current political landscape
No
shows,
kidding.
they're going to be clown themselves even more. You know, I mean, and from the, now listen, I'm not going to knock a guy for crying during the national anthem. It was a really good national anthem. But then for him to just act the way that he did, his antics on the sideline, just the way that he behaves is so utterly ridiculous. And this loss sort of set up his villain arc. I mean, I don't want to call him a
Yeah.
villain because that really gives him too much power. We
Yes.
obviously beat him in this game. But then, you know, 9 or 7 months after this, you know, he's walking down the tunnel in Arrowhead after Marquez Valdes-Scantling dropped the game-winning touchdown, right? That the Chiefs would have
Yep.
won the game with, and
Yep.
saying, I can't hear you now, Chiefs fans. You know, like, I mean, and then for his team to endure a year after this game, like one of the more shocking collapses in NFL history, the way they played down the stretch, just going from not only a division winner, but like back-to-back number one seeds, NFC Super Bowl favorite, to getting eliminated in the first round by Baker Mayfield and the Buccaneers.
Yeah,
I mean,
embarrassing.
it's embarrassing and it just is indicative of his whole personality. So if you thought I was going to choose a Chief as a trash man, you're dead wrong. I'm definitely choosing an Eagle. And the most obvious choice for that is, of course, Nick Sirianni. Now, you know, if you had asked me who I was going to choose as a trash man before this game was played, I would have sworn it would have been Karl Cheffers, but he was the hero in this game. He really should have been a five-star man, honestly.
For my trash man, roll the tape.
Well, let's just right off the bat just talk about how dog shit Skyline Chili is. Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck you. Fuck the Bengals. Fuck Joe Burrow. Fuck Skyline Chili. Suck my dick, you fucking animals. I don't fucking care. Fuck you guys. That shit sucks dick.
Listen, there's a lot that we can talk about as far as like what could have happened in this game. And one of the things we could have talked about is if the Bengals and Joe Burrow had been in this game and how if they had won this game, things would be a lot different. But they didn't because they couldn't beat the Chiefs and they never are going to get back there. They're never going to win another Super Bowl. They are the worst. And, I was just thinking about like the biggest losers from this game. And then I chuckled to myself and I'm like, oh, I know one. Joe Burrow, the
Oh yeah,
Bengals. They're big-time
100%.
losers here. They were super big mad that that they couldn't be in two Super Bowls in a row. And not everybody can go to two Super Bowls in a row. And certainly not everybody can win Super Bowls. And they're just on the outside looking in. Sorry, guys.
I will point out before we go to our wild cards, you did say that they're never going to win another Super Bowl, which would imply that they've won one in the past. But of
Good
course,
point.
they haven't. They're never going to win a
Good
Super Bowl,
point.
period, because they are trash men, trash team. If
Yes.
there was an ESPY award for trash team, it would be the Cincinnati Bengals.
Easily.
Finally, our wild cards. These are players who are capable of anything. And we didn't pick wild cards the last time we recapped this game. I got to go with Sky Moore. He was a wild card pick for me last week with the insane, completely unwanted punt return touchdown to
Yeah.
set the Chiefs up for the game-winning score when there was no one else, and when he begged not to be sent out to return a punt, came up with the biggest punt return of his life. This game, again, I mean, we already talked about this play a little bit. He had one target in this game.
Yep.
He had one reception in this game for 4 yards and a
There it is.
single touchdown. He
His
also had
first ever.
one rush for 4 yards. This was his first touchdown of the year, his
He
first
slipped
touchdown
on
of
the one
his
rush.
NFL career. Exactly right. And he slipped on the one rush and he lined up wrong on this play. And yet he scored the go-ahead touchdown in the Super Bowl with the game on the line. And that is true wild card behavior. Now, it's unfortunate that Sky Moore couldn't build on this wild card performance to build into something other than a perennial trash man the following season. But, you know, I mean, for one shining moment, Sky Moore, I mean, listen, you score. I mean, the last 2 years, this season, and then obviously the next season, which we're going to be recapping the next couple of weeks. I mean, Kadarius Toney, Sky Moore, Marquez Valdes-Scantling, McCole Hardman.
Yeah.
These are all guys who caught touchdowns in a Chiefs Super Bowl victory, and they will forever be associated with winning a Super Bowl. They're going to have rings on their fingers.
Yeah.
They're not going to have to buy drinks at Kansas City.
No.
Well,
well,
Sky Moore,
some of them will.
Sky Moore and
pretty much all four of them will.
Might have. Yeah, pretty much all of them will, actually. But listen, it was a great moment for Sky Moore. It's true wild card behavior. Close us out with your wild card pick.
So I'm going to go with Colin Saunders. Colin, not Kalen, from his Twitter account.
Cam Saunders' brother.
Cam Saunders' brother.
The backup dancer's brother.
Yes. He, in case you were curious, has 4.5 regular season sacks in 55 career games and one sack in six career playoff games. And that sack was in this game. It was in the Super Bowl. It was against Jalen Hurts. And if that wasn't wild card behavior enough for you, the sack itself was a wild card sack. He pushed Jalen Hurts out of bounds behind the line of scrimmage as he was looking like he was going to throw, which is how the NFL stat keepers consider that a sack. You can't be running. You have to be like trying to throw and being pushed out of bounds. It's extremely like niche and nuanced how to get that type of sack. And Colin Saunders chased him out of bounds and picks himself up a sack on the ledger, which is not something that a defensive tackle of his caliber does a lot of. I mean, he's a run stuffer. He's a guy that, you know, it's not to say that he's not a good player. I miss him. I'm happy for him that he was able to get paid and go to the Saints. This is not a Colin Saunders slander. Do not come at me with any of that. I like the guy a lot, but him getting a sack in this game is extremely wild card behavior, especially the way that he did it.
And especially in a game that involved one of the most prolific sack teams in NFL history. And, you know, the Chiefs were not bad in that department. I mean,
they were third in the NFL that year.
Exactly. And then for the first sack in this game, and I think Leo Chenal had the other sack in this game. And I think it was also just a little cleanup sack. But I mean,
that's correct.
That is extremely wild card behavior. I mean, considering all of the participants in this game, for there to be the first sack to come deep into the game and to come from Colin Saunders pushing Jalen Hurts out of bounds on a little keeper, that is true wild card behavior. Colin Saunders, you're a real one. And that's going to do it for this edition of the Next Great American Dynasty. Next week, we will be picking it back up, of course, with the 2023 season playoff run. Chiefs going on the road, but first, obviously, they will be playing the Miami Dolphins at Arrowhead, the return of Tyreek Hill. It's going to be a lot of fun. We will see you guys next time.